We're continuing our studies in the book of Galatians, and I want us to look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, and possibly a little further than that, but let me just read Galatians 5, 16 through 21. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The book of Galatians is practical, even though there's a lot of doctrine in that, in this book, establishing the difference between living by faith and living under the law. And those things need to be worked through and understood so that when we come to the practical part of it, we can apply it in our life. And so the study of the Bible is not just simply for doctrine, but we need to be able to apply it. I was explaining to one that the Bible is like a bucket of paint, and we can stir that bucket of paint and stir it and, you know, mix it up real good, but until you put a brush in it and put it on the wall, it's not applied. Doesn't work. And so you've got to apply the Word of God to our lives. And we all have struggles, and this is what this passage of Scripture is dealing with. We all have struggles with the flesh, and we want to overcome the desires of the flesh. Because if you submit to the desires of the flesh, it will cost you. It won't cost you your salvation, because once you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in the family that cannot be changed. But your inheritance can change. And we read a long list here of the works of the flesh. And I'm not going into the meaning of these words. I was just thinking about preparing lessons and messages for us here on Sunday morning. You can take every word and preach a whole message on that. That's not the point. That's not the issue here. I think all of us appreciate the fact that adultery is wrong, and fornication, and drunkenness is wrong, and we know that idol worship is wrong, and witchcraft. We're not into necromancy and other areas of satanic practices. We know that being unclean and living a filthy life is not pleasing to the Lord. Envyings and murders and revelings and so forth. But anyway, the point I'm saying is we all struggle with these desires, but we can have victory over those desires. It says if we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill these desires. And by the way, the word "the" before Spirit in verse 16, it's not in the Greek text. And so therefore, I don't think that this is talking about the Holy Spirit. Trying to walk in the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, so to speak, to me, is a bit ambiguous. I don't know when I'm walking in the Holy Ghost and when I'm not, I don't know when I'm walking in the Holy Spirit or not. Now, there are some people that say they can know it. But to me, this Spirit in the book of Galatians is not the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of His Son. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, we see a reference to that Spirit. And it says, "And because ye endure as sons, God," in other words, sons of God are those who will endure, and they will become sons of God. But it says, "God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." The Spirit of the book of Galatians is the Spirit of His Son. And the Spirit of His Son was the ability to say, Abba, Father. And to say Abba, Father is to acknowledge that God has, the Father has the power to do anything He desires. And if He stretches out His hand, there's no man that can bend it back. And what He says will come to pass. But the Spirit of His Son was a submissive spirit. In Matthew 11:29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart." We need to have a submissive spirit. If we have a submissive spirit, we're not going to be overcome with the lust of the flesh. Now, I'm not talking about having a submissive spirit. Some people say, you know, I'm not bothered with temptation. I just give in. That's not what this is talking about. That's not what we're trying to teach. I'm not trying to teach you to have a meek and lowly heart and just give in to the lust of the flesh. Jesus says, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." I've got a submissive spirit. In Psalms 25:9, it says, "The meek will He guide in judgment. The meek will He teach His way." The meek are those that are teachable or leadable. And the Lord Jesus Christ did the will of the Father. And the meek will He teach His way. Jesus was a teacher of the meek. And we need to be teachable as well. And the will of the Father was important to Jesus Christ, and the will of the Father should be important to us. In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, and He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt." Now, if you walk in that spirit, you're not going to need the satisfaction and the pleasures of the lust of the flesh. You're going to have satisfaction and fulfillment in doing the will of the Father. Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent Me." Well, have you ever sat down to a delicious meal and you enjoyed it? And when you finished that meal, were you looking for another one just like it? No. A fulfilling meal is satisfying. And doing the will of the Father is a satisfying practice. And if we are doing the will of the Father, then we're not going to need to be drunk. We're not going to need the pleasures of sin for a season. And, of course, we keep in mind the consequences of living in sin, that it costs you. Cost you your inheritance. And it may even cost you a little time in prison or a little time in outer darkness. Anyway, there is a suffering of loss for the behavior and lifestyle of the flesh. Now, who's in control? Is it the Spirit of His Son, or is it the Spirit or the lust of our flesh? Paul says, "This I say then, walk in spirit," that is, of God's Son. And this word "walk" is in the present tense. And it's an imperative, it's a command. Doesn't mean that every child of God is going to do what he is told, but it's still a command, and we are to do it in all the time. We're to walk in the Spirit of His Son, knowing if we will, we will not fulfill the lust of flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. In other words, there's a conflict, and we all experience it all the time. And that's just the way of life. We experience the conflict of doing the will of the Father and doing our own will. And they're contrary one to another, and so that we really have a struggle to do the things that we know that we should do. And of course, Paul had that struggle. We're not in it. The Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, struggled with the very same problems that we have in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, that is, fleshly, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. In other words, this is the conflict. What I like to do and know I need to do, I don't do it. We all have that problem. When we know that we should be doing the right thing, there are times when we don't. Now, I'm just saying that Paul was not completely destroyed and defeated in his walk with the Lord, but this is showing the conflict that he had. The things that I know I should be doing, those are the things that I'm not doing. Now, what about the flesh? Well, Romans chapter 8 talks about the flesh in verse 5 and other verses in this chapter, but I want to focus beginning with verse 5 through 8 where it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." In other words, if you're focused on the appetites of the things of the flesh, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be thinking about them. You're going to be anticipating them. You're going to be making plans for revelings or partying or other activities that are not pleasing to the Lord. But if you are after the mind of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, but they that are after the Spirit, they're going to be thinking about the things of the Spirit. What Spirit? I believe this is the same Spirit that we're talking about in the book of Galatians. Because we see this same Spirit in the book of Romans and in chapter 8, verse 15. I'm going to just read that, skip down a little bit here. "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That's the Spirit of His Son. That's the same Spirit that we read about in Galatians. Now, if we are thinking about that Spirit, we're going to be responding to that attitude and to those principles. Because in verse 6 of Romans 8, it says, "For to be carnally minded is death." The word carnal is the word flesh, or fleshly minded is death. Now this is talking to saved people. And this death here is not where you're lost. This death here is perishing or losing your inheritance. Remember the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt? They perished where? In the wilderness. They didn't go to hell, so to speak. They just did not get to enjoy the land flowing with milk and honey. And I don't know about you, but I want to enjoy the land flowing with milk and honey. And you know where that land is? It's in the heavenlies. And it's my inheritance. And if I enter into the things of the flesh, I will not have a heavenly inheritance. So, to be carnally minded is to perish. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You think about and you dwell upon the Spirit of the Son of God, you're going to have peace. You're not going to have stress. Why? Because you know that all things are possible unto the Father. But you know, you're going to submit to His will. When you submit to His will, man, that should bring peace. God's not a God that is looking to cause you misery. He may allow times of struggle, okay? But let me tell you, even in times of difficulty, you can have peace. And so, if we are spiritually minded or thinking in terms of the Spirit of His Son, we're going to have life for the coming kingdom. In the coming kingdom, we're going to enter into the land flowing with milk and honey and have a better inheritance than we would if we died in the wilderness. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. When you're carnally, when you're thinking about carnal things, you're just turning against God. You're becoming His enemy. It's enmity. It's division. It's struggle. God's working and you're resisting Him. For it is not subject to the law of God. The carnal mind is not subject to the Word of God. You just say, you know, I'm going to throw this out. I don't need this. I'm going to do this. I don't want this to interfere with my having fun and having pleasure. And you do that, if we do that, it's costing us. And we need to appreciate that. And and of course, if we're carnally minded, it's not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now this is not talking about being in the flesh, that kind of flesh. We're all in that flesh. But if you're fleshly minded, you can't please God. And what does that mean if you can't please God? You can't live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You start living in the flesh and doing what the flesh desires and responding to the flesh. And I tell you, the flesh can work up a pretty good argument. You know? Well, the flesh can really reason things through pretty good. Like, it's easier to get forgiveness than permission. Have you ever heard that little statement before? What that means is this. You go ahead and do the wrong thing and then you say, Lord, forgive me. You know, or you break the law and then you beg for mercy. Well, that's not the way it operates. We need to we need to destroy the flesh. We need to put the flesh, crucify the flesh. Anyway, we need to live by faith. Now, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, it says, He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. So what we're talking about is walking in the Spirit of His Son. Jesus walked in that Spirit. And we need to, if we say that we're abiding in Him, we need to walk in that same Spirit. We need to walk as He walked. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, it says, And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. In other words, by keeping his commandments, we know that he abides in us. If we are rebelling against his commandments, we can be assured that he is not abiding in us. And this abiding in us is something that has to do with what we're conscious of, what we're thinking about. When anybody comes over to our house to abide, we don't forget them. We put food on the table for them. They're abiding there. We're aware of them. We know that they're there. And the same thing about the Lord. The way we know that He is in us is by our thinking of His commandments and being obedient to them. Because we need to appreciate the fact that as little children, we need to abide in Him and He in us, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed from before Him. If we're not walking, if we're not abiding in Him and walking as He walked, what's going to happen? We're going to be ashamed. I put these verses together to show you that it's essential for us to walk as the Lord walked, to have His same spirit, a spirit of meekness, a submissive spirit, to do the will of the Father so that we can have peace and confidence when? In the day that we stand in His presence. I assure you, I have been shunned before. I've been asked to leave before. It's not very hard to be shunned by not receiving an invitation. You're being shunned, but at least you're a mile or two away from somebody that don't want you. But can you imagine standing in the presence of the Lord and the Lord says, you can be excused. You just step over there. Step out of the way. And so we want to abide in Him, and to abide in Him is to walk as He walks and to keep His commandments. And that way we will not be ashamed when He comes at His presence, but we'll have confidence. Now, in Galatians chapter 5 verse 18, it says, if we be led of Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, we're not under the law. Well, you've heard that before. We're not under the law, we're under grace. Ephesians 6:14, right? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Who is it that's not under the law, but under grace? It's those who have died to self. Who are saying, not my will, but thine be done. You know, when it takes the grace of God to be able to say, not my will, but thine be done. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, these are the ones that are under grace. Wherefore we are buried with Him by baptism into His death. In other words, we're talking about His death in verse 3. We're not reading verse 3, but it talks about His death in verse 3. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. In other words, if we have died to self and we're walking in a newness of life, you know what we are? We're under grace. Grace provides contentment and satisfaction. Grace provides peace. Grace provides strength. You know, and Paul says that the grace of God needs to reign in your heart through righteousness. And if it does, it will lead to life for the coming age, age-lasting life. And so the dead, and those that have been crucified with Christ, are those who are living under grace. In Galatians 2:20-21, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Why? He did not want to frustrate what? The grace of God. You live crucified with Christ, dead to self. The grace of God has got to be working to do that. You cannot do that on your own. So, we're not under the law, but we're under grace. This is interesting in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. This is the evidence, really, of walking in Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness, temperance. The last part of that phrase, that verse, what does it say? Against such there is no law. Did you know that there's no restriction on love? There is no restriction on faithfulness and long-suffering and peace. Isn't that something? I like that. God's not restricted how much peace you can have. Because there's no law. You know what law does? Law says you can only drive at 30 miles an hour. That's restriction, isn't it? There's no restriction on this fruit at all. I mean, we can go full blast. I mean, it's just like the Autobahn. We can love at 100 miles an hour. I was just reading in the paper Saturday. Ford's put out a new car. I don't know what the name of the car is. But in third gear, it was running over 100 miles an hour, and it's got six gears. It's designed to run over 200 miles an hour. Man, just think how fast you can get down to rainbow food. Anyway, you know, you can put it in sixth gear on all of this fruit of the Spirit. There's no restrictions on this. And you know what? We're all blessed by this fruit. Now, but the works of the flesh, which we have already mentioned, are manifest. I like that word manifest. I mean, everybody knows it. It's out in the open. There's no secret on this. It's been that way since the days of Adam and Eve, the works of the flesh. So what does the law help us to do? It helps us to know that these things are not pleasing to Him. And I want to read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, where it says, "For we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for the just man. A just man doesn't do the works of the flesh." You do the works of the flesh, you're unjust. And if you're unjust, faith is out the window. You can't live by faith. You do these things, you can't live by faith. Now, I'm not saying you can't get angry and you can't live by faith. This has to do with things that you're just doing all the time. You're angry all the time. You're getting drunk all the time. These things. And the more you know, the less you can do them. I'll put it that way. When I think about what Moses did, one time disqualified Moses from going into the land flowing with milk and honey. He disobeyed God one time. That is, he probably did it more than once, but all we have is what's written. When he struck the rock the second time, that's it. Disqualified. Now, the more you know, the shorter the fuse. The more you know, the less God allows you slack. Okay? Now, let's go on. Now, knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy, profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for menstealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. I just put this in here so that you can see that the works of the flesh, that the law is to help us to control that. The commandments of God are to help us to control that. And if you're not living in the flesh, you don't need the law. Law doesn't mean anything to you. In other words, if you're driving below the speed limit, are you worried about the law? No. Same with your walk with the Lord as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we see again the sins of the flesh and its relationship to the kingdom. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 6, "Know ye not that the unrighteous or the unjust, that is, the sinner, the unholy, shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Notice, be not deceived. Let me tell you, there are people today that teach you that it doesn't really make any difference how you live. You'll get it. You're in the kingdom now. I tell you, it just amazes me what men are willing to do to please those that are sitting in the pews. Ephesians chapter 5 is another passage of Scripture that deals with the sons of disobedience. It talks about the sins of the flesh again. And those who do them, they will not have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You find that in verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 5. I'm not going to read all of these sins. But I just want you to see that in verse 5, this you know, that no whoremonger, or unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. There are no rewards for you. You might as well forget it. And the problem is that you can't forget it during the 1,000 years. You're going to be thinking about that for 1,000 years. And when you think about what you could have had and you lost it because you wanted to have a little fun and disobey and rebel against God, you know what? There's going to be tears in heaven because of that. Now, we need to walk carefully. The word circumspectly means to be careful where we walk. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." The word "see" means is in the present tense. You need to be seeing where you're going. You need to be walking all the time carefully. I used to do a little cave exploring. Let me tell you, when you're walking around in the cave, you know what you're doing? You're walking circumspectly. And I tell you what, one time I had the wrong foot on a little ledge, and I needed to have my right foot on it. I had my left foot on it, and I needed, how am I going to get that right foot on there so I can get over that chasm down there? The next thing I know is that when I change my feet, the mud that was on my left foot scraped off on the little ledge I was standing on, and when I put my right foot on there, it just kept right on sliding off, and so I just dove across the chasm and fell on the other side, and my legs were rubber after that. But I was thankful I was across the other side and not in the bottom. You know, you walk circumspectly because there are pits everywhere. And the flesh can just suck you in. And so we need to walk circumspectly. We don't need to be a fool. Walking around in a cave is the wrong thing to do, especially when you get older. But we don't need to be walking as a fool, but we need to be wise. And we need to be redeeming the time, not wasting time, because the days are evil. And that's the reason why we need to make sure that we're walking in the Spirit of His Son, a submissive spirit, submissive to the will of God, and that our walk should be a worthy walk in 1 Thessalonians 2:12-13, that ye would walk worthy of God. That's present tense. Who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. You've been called unto His kingdom and glory? Are you going to miss that inheritance because of the sins of the flesh and not walking in the Spirit of His Son? It can happen. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye receive the Word of God, that is, the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, when you receive that message which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh, present active, also in you that believe, present active. You know, that the message of the word of God works in those that are believing in the present tense. The message of the kingdom works in the hearts and lives of people who are faithful. Believing in the present tense is one of the fruits of the Spirit of His Son. That is the fruit of faith or faithfulness. So, again, what is the evidence? Do we love one another? Ephesians 5:22-23 again. Is there joy? Do you have peace? If you don't have peace, you know you don't have grace. Grace and peace be multiplied unto us. Are you long-suffering toward those that are offending you and hurting you? Are you gentle, kind, thoughtful? Is there goodness? Are you willing to minister to those that are in need in the family? Of course, that has to do with love as well. Are we faithful? Are we meek? Is there a submissive spirit? Are we preferring one another? And I like the last, temperance. Are you under control or out of control? If you've got the fruit of the Spirit, you're not out of control. You're under the control of the Spirit of His Son. And you will hear one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and not be ashamed from before Him because you weren't abiding in Him. May the Lord help us to not only dip our brush in a bucket of paint, but apply it to our life. We need to apply the Word of God that we might stand approved in His presence. Father, just pray that You'd bless the message to each of our hearts. Just pray, Lord, You'd help us to live in the Spirit of Your Son and one day be placed in a position of a son rather than living in the flesh and enjoying the joys and the pleasures of sin for a season and the consequences of losing our inheritance in the coming kingdom because we wanted earthly pleasures. We wanted to sacrifice our future on the altar of the immediate. Help us, Lord, not to do that. Again, we pray for Your blessings upon the message to each of our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.